Right, welcome back. This is episode 15, Sports Talk for Fans by Fans. This is Brian, and I have a new person here with me. So Corey and Robert are not available to make it. They'll be back. Potentially, they have other agendas going on. So what we're going to kind of do going forward with the podcast is we're going to break it up, and we're going to start doing them kind of by sport, make them shorter segments, bring people in that are more in tune with the sports, and kind of push that from there going forward. So I got Alex with here with me. We'll go back. Way back. So how you doing, Alex?
Doing fantastic this evening. How's everyone out there?
Oh, hopefully good. Hopefully good, unless Kyle Shanahan's prediction of the world ending is going to come true, which, as you guys heard, he said we don't know if we're going to be alive by draft day. So hopefully you guys are doing good out there. But going forward, what we plan on doing for this one is just kind of just a draft special. We're going to break down our version of mock draft based on a lot of the research that we've done, things that we've looked at. Not to mention, me and Alex probably did too much Madden, so we do a lot of the drafting on Madden because we probably need to find better things to do, but that's what we enjoy doing with our free time, honestly. So we're going to here talk to you about the draft. What we're planning on doing is do about an hour-long segment. Whatever we get to, we'll get to. The plan is to get to hopefully at least about 15 picks on the mock draft. And on the Facebook page, we did post these out for you guys. We did the first 10 with you guys. So as we go through this, we'll kind of mention those picks as we go through. So let's go and get started, Alex. Well, what we're going to do is we'll just read them off. Then me and Alex are going to alternate on making picks and just kind of give our opinion on each one of the picks and kind of the things that we're hearing with the news and the rumors out there. And, you know, some things that we buy in, we don't buy in. And one of the perfect examples would be kind of when we get to the Niners pick, Alex probably will talk to you about some smoke screen stuff, like kind of why are they doing that game. But let's get started. For the first pick, as we know, it's pretty much lock. It's a done deal. Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence. Linking up with Urban Meyer. So I don't think I ever thought I'd ever see Urban Meyer in the NFL. And if we look back, I mean, how many successful college coaches really go from the college to the NFL? Is Jimmy Johnson really the only one, Alex, that you can think off the top of your head that maybe the best suited to go from college to the NFL? Or can you think of one?
Well, in recent times, you can look at Pete Carroll, but Pete Carroll technically started in the NFL. But that's one. I know Parcells came from college ranks, but he wasn't a head coach in college. So I think Jimmy Johnson and Pete Carroll might be the best kind of set of coaches that you say, hey, it can still work. And those would be the two you'd pick.
Yeah. I know. Like some of the other ones that disasters, Nick Saban was a complete disaster. in the NFL, that didn't work out very well. So I guess we'll see how Urban Meyer goes. Maybe it works out better now with the whole. There's a lot more college involvement in the NFL, so maybe this works. But once again, Trevor Lawrence is pretty much being compared to like Andrew Luck, if you will, John Elway, the once in a generation kind of quarterback. So, and honestly, this is my opinion, Alex. I don't know about you, but I think Jacksonville actually isn't that bad off in offense. I did like Gardner Minshew there, but they have a running back. They have they have at least an average offensive line. They have wide receivers. Maybe they don't have a tight end, but. I think that they'll be fine. I think Trevor Lawrence will be fine. What do you think about that?
They looking here at their last draft, they absolutely rocked it in last draft. They got C.J. Henderson. They got LaVisca Chenault at wide receiver. They got the undrafted running fantasy stuff for me. Helped me out get to a championship. Thank you. So they've done a great job, and then they've done a lot of smart things even before the front office made a turnover. They've got rid of players that they knew they weren't going to keep long term, like Ngakoue and Harrison at safety. They traded Jalen Ramsey. They got multiple first round picks for him. I think they hosed the Rams for him. But they've done, even before the front office got here, they did a lot of smart moves to set this front office up to have an absolutely great draft. And especially with all the money they got, they should be able to do some moves here in the next 2 years, especially if Trevor Lawrence is the draft pick like we believe he is. I mean, he works out. They could set themselves up to be a cornerstone franchise, at least for the next 10 or 15 years, easy.
100%. And the one thing that I will gladly point out that you just talked about is that they fleeced the Rams. So Corey's not here to defend himself. And I just want to throw it out there that they got the first round picks from the Rams, and we'll see how that plays off the Rams. Next, we got the Jets. So pretty much, I think this is another one. Yeah.
I got a quick question I want to, and this is kind of a stick in the crawl I've been thinking about. Most times when you see coaches that come from the coaching ranks from this college, they usually like to get their own guys that they had in college. You think it's a little weird that we haven't heard anything about Fields maybe thinking about going number one just because he worked with Ryan Day?
I think, that's a good point. But I guess the only other major comparison I can think of was the last time this happened, which I think was Chip Kelly in Oregon. And we had all the speculation, Marcus Mariota, and it just kind of never played out. So maybe it's just one of those things where if Ryan Day is a coach in the NFL, is he really going to say the same stuff he's saying right now? I probably don't believe that anymore. But, yeah, I guess, he's got to be – if Urban Meyer is not even budging on this, it's got to be clear cut that Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback. But I guess we'll see. There's other prospects that – may come out. I mean, especially if you go back to remember what Spurrier did this with the formerly known as Washington Redskins, how he just took all the Florida Gator players. And so I'm kind of curious if he's going to end up picking some Ohio State players. Technically, are there any players left from Florida, his Florida days, that are still in the NFL? Like, who knows what that connection is going to be?
I can't really. I mean, he had Cam Newton, but he transferred. Harvin's retired. Tebow's out the league. We're not even going to talk about Aaron Hernandez.
Tebow's making a comeback.
I think most of his players are either almost out of the league because, I mean, he was running 2006, 2007. So that's 14, 15 years ago. So, most of his players are out. But I was more thinking about his Ohio State guys. I think Kiff Kingsbury took Kyler Murray, but – he wasn't on the same team, but he was still in the same system. But it's kind of the same thing.
All right, let's move on. We're going to try to keep this about 5 minutes for each pick. So let's move on to the Jets. Jets 99.9% sure that it's Zach Wilson. The odd thing about Zach Wilson is if you watch college football, he was not really known before the year started. Mm-hmm. I think it is kind of weird that the media kind of hyped up a couple of his major throws. And then everyone started just kind of following him. So it's kind of weird how the media pushed this out, and it kind of just grew legs with it because Justin Fields really came in the year as the number two quarterback. Like, number two should be Justin Fields, and it's kind of weird that it's still not him. But here we are, the Jets trading Sam Darnold. They just took him 3 years ago at number three or something like that. So, they're going down the same path where they should be building around him, but instead they're just completely redoing everything. And, hopefully with the new coach coming in, I love him coming out of San Francisco, but hopefully it works. But to me, Alex, it feels like Zach Wilson is destined for failure because I don't know how anyone can succeed with the current situation they're in. Now, hopefully, they change some things, but it really looks like they beefed up their defense in the offseason. Not so much the offense. I know they did add a wide receiver. But, what do you think about Zach Wilson going there to the Jets? You think he's got any chance of being more successful than Sam Darnold was?
So, 2 points to your thing about the media. I always look at the number one pick as always the most hyped player that's going to get drafted. You go back to any draft, any scout will tell you the best player never goes number one almost. Just it never goes. It's always going to be pushed up by, hype, whether it's a quarterback or some other player. Usually the best player goes 3-4. Or something like that, and it's known most of the time. To Zach Wilson, I will say this. He hasn't had tough competition, but I see when I looked at him, watching film on him, he can throw from different platforms while under pressure. Being a defensive player, the one thing you want to do is get the quarterback off the spot, letting him just get it in his face just to make him throw in different angles and he's inaccurate. Zach Wilson has a little bit of the Mahomes where he can – run around or throw from different angles and still make the throw look easy. I don't know if he's going to succeed in New York just because it's just a bad franchise right now. They have, especially with the Adams trade to get the two first round picks, they have assets now and they have cap room to do some things, but it's always going to be on the front of this, whether or not they can put the right amount of talent around them. Because if they don't, they don't get a good offensive line, they don't get a good defense, they don't get good weapons for Zach Wilson, we're going to be saying the same thing we're saying about Darnold right now, 3 years from now.
Yep, so if you're a Jets fan, start looking at all the freshman and sophomore quarterbacks because that's your future Jets franchise quarterback in 2-3 years.
Yes.
So, Alex, based on what you just said, something I want to bring up, and just I want to look at the last five drafts, and I just wanted you to tell me yes or no if they were the best player at number one. Just on the spot, put you on the spot with this. So, last year, Joe Burrow's number one pick. You could say, would you rather have Joe Burrow or Chase Young or Justin? Is Justin Herbert a better quarterback than Joe Burrow, or do you think they're about even?
It's hard to say. I've always heard from Scott, you want to give 3 years to kind of see what the draft class is before you kind of judge on it. Like, obviously, after last year, you would say, oh, my goodness, how can we pass a Herbert? I think, personally, yep. The Washington football team, they got Chase Young. He was a defensive player of the year. But internally, I'm pretty sure they're kicking themselves saying, why didn't we draft Justin Herbert? He looks like he might be the truth. So, and even with Burrow, I mean, he showed flashes last year, but obviously he got his season cut short. If you had told me last year who was the best player in the draft, I probably would have said Chase Young just off a straight eyeball test. I think the tackle Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, he was an all-pro this year for Tampa Bay. He may have been the best player last year. But that's just off our eyes. You know, it could be him or Herbert. But you can make that argument like what I said. You can say Joe Burrow went number one. He probably, you know, just looking the first year, he may have not been the best player.
Yep. All right, so going back, let's go back a couple of years then. So number one pick a couple of years ago was Baker Mayfield. The same draft that had Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen, who, of course, was the quarterback for the Cardinals. Then I think 2 years later, they ended up taking Kyler Murray or a year later. So, you know, looking back, you know, are these top number one picks really the best player coming in on draft? So it's kind of interesting to look at. So you could – I mean, I don't – me personally, is Baker Mayfield the best player? No, he's not better than Josh Allen. But it's hard to say at that moment. It's easier to say now a couple of years later. But, yeah, it takes a couple of years to develop, like you said, and, you know, you see it later on. So – even Jadeveon Clowney was the number one pick in 2014. And look what's happening to him. He's bouncing around. He can't be on a consistent team. So,
exactly. And then looking back at this 2018 draft in the first round, I mean, the best player, what he's doing, might be Quentin Nelson. He was taking six. Yeah. He might be the best offensive lineman in football, and he was taking six. So,
yep. All right, let's get to the next pick. All right, so since we kind of – those were kind of locked, so we're kind of just talking about things. So now we're going to kind of talk about these actual players and their needs and the fits for these positions. So with the third pick for our mock draft. Now, this is one of those things where it's going to be I'm a Niners fan. I don't see any way it's supposed to be Mac Jones. I don't care – what everyone says about Mac Jones. I don't care how everyone says, the media says Kyle Shanahan wants to shoot for Matt Ryan and he's okay settling with Kirk Cousins. Like, to me, that's a dumb comment. Why would you choose to settle on a ceiling with someone when you're a coach, an offensive coordinator, and you are able to scheme people open? Why wouldn't you want the multi-dimensional quarterback of Ethan Fields or Trey Lance? As long as he didn't actually find these red flags that we don't know about, because we don't know what they really think. And you got to remember the media, this is all media speculation. The only people that actually know what's going to happen is John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. So all these people talk of, oh, it's Mac Jones. Oh, it's Mac Jones. Yes, I know I don't want to hear that, but there's nothing that says out there that's definitely going to be him. We have nothing to justify that off of. It's everyone just speculating. So I'm going to go off of speculation. Just, I will at least listen to what they said, because they did say it's going to be either Mac Jones or Trey Lance. So with that, I will just say, you got to go Trey Lance. You got to go the ceiling. You have Garoppolo there for another year. I find it hard to believe that they're going to trade him on draft day. I could be completely wrong, of course, as a Niners fan. But all the things I'm reading, there's nothing saying that they're going to trade him. Like, why not keep him for a year, make a deal with Garoppolo that, hey, we will get you the best situation for you. Not for us, because for us we draft picks, but for you, we'll find you the best situation if you have one good year, because he's only got a couple years left on his contract anyways, and there's not really guaranteed money on his contract. So find him the best place next year. We take, you know, a quarterback that's Trey Lance. Yes, people say he can start right away. Some people say he can start right away. Some people say he can't start right away. But Mac Jones, I don't buy why you would draft him at three. So I'm going to go Trey Lance at the number three pick, Alex. What do you think?
Okay. I will say this. As far as the whole Mac Jones thing, which I think I've talked about it before in other places, I don't understand the smoke screen. And the smoke screen of why are you trying to hide it? Everyone in America knows the first two picks. It's Lawrence and it's Wilson. Are they scared that if they decide to come out who they're going to draft, they're scared that the Jets are going to go, holy crap, they want this guy. We might need to draft him. Then that comes to my thought of, are the 49ers, if that happens, are the 49ers not going to take Zach Wilson? Do they not like Zach Wilson? Which could be so. It could be it. But I don't understand why doing the smokescreen. I will say this about Mac Jones, watching him. He throws with anticipation better than all the quarterbacks in this draft. He doesn't have the best arm. He's had the best talent. He's got all the time in the world in the pocket playing for Alabama. He's got a Heisman Trophy winner wide receiver. He's got a Jet guy in Waddle. I mean, he had four first-round wide receivers the previous year and just had three this year. So he's had all the talent in the world. I call it the Ken Dorsey effect when Dorsey was in Miami. God. And he looked great because all-world talent. And Mac Jones looks the same way. I just – even no matter who's the pick or where he goes, I want to see what he – when he doesn't have the offensive line, he's got to run for his life. Because I don't think he's athletic enough to be in the NFL. Oh, yeah, it's great to have to be able to throw anticipation, which is what scouts love. But, I mean, in the NFL, 50% of the time, the play is not going to be right. You got to be able to make play off schedule. And Trey Lance just makes more sense to me. He fits exactly what the Niners need right now. They're the ready guy right now. They got Jimmy G. If they stick with Jimmy G, they're still a playoff contender this year. You go to Mac Jones, and you go back to the same system with Jimmy G. To me, I'm with you. Trey Lance is just the better pick. You could sit a year, let him get part of this system, because the West Coast system, which really what the heart of the 49ers is, it takes a year or two to get under you anyway. So sit him for a year, let Lance develop. And in a year or two, you might be looking at the next top young quarterback coming out.
Alex, I can't get past the fact that you brought up Ken Dorsey, especially because he went to the Niners. I think he was a seventh-round pick or something ridiculous, and he actually ended up starting a couple games for us. And it really hurts to think that that's really an actual comparison that I actually agree with you on, that the fact that he's like that. Like Matt Jones, yes, great anticipation. But the arm strength, like when I see him make some of those throws, the arm strength to me is questionable. And like, I don't know if you've noticed all the highlights for Waddle and Smith and everyone going downfield, but when they're like wide open, he never hits them in stride. It looks like he's hitting them and they have to slow down 5 yards just to catch the ball. Now, granted, maybe he's just being safe to make sure it's not going to be an overthrow kind of like Jimmy G in the Super Bowl. But I want my quarterback to hit everyone in stride if you're about to go to the NFL. If you got wide receivers like that, like, that's kind of, I don't know. That's concerning. I don't know. It's just all concerning. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. So I really hope it isn't. I hope it's Trey Lance. But all right, let's go to the next one. So this one, Alex is going to make the pick. I just want to do the quick spiel right now. The team needs for the Falcons on some things I've seen. There's edge rushers, cornerback, safety, essentially their whole defense. On top of that, they need offensive line help also. I think Matt Ryan was sacked about 40 plus times the last couple of years. So everyone's saying Kyle Pitts. Everyone's saying Kyle Pitts because it's the sexy pick. My opinion is you shouldn't go Kyle Pitts. Now, Alex is going to have the final say in this one. I think they should go offensive line and help Matt Ryan. Honestly, I really think they should trade out of this. Like, to me, this is one of the big ones where we'll talk a couple of these out, me and Alex. But I think, to me, the Falcons should trade out, especially based off of what Niners do. If Lance and Fields are there because Mac Jones is taken, I think there's like three or four teams that have to call the Falcons to try to move up. To ensure that they can jump the next team. Because I think next team is the Lions that would trade out. So, but yeah, Alex, so who do you got going number four to the Falcons? What do you think?
I agree with you. They got defensive holes everywhere, but this is one of those drafts where the talent for defense might be near the back of the first or the second and third rounds. I know hearing from what I've heard, they've been calling people. But the thing about calling teams to trade, you got to have a trade partner. And apparently they've been – their price is pretty high. And I don't blame them because they're thinking they could get somebody to host somebody on a quarterback. So they just saw what the 49ers had to give up to get the three. They're probably looking for something similar to that. They're in a no-win situation where they're stuck. They drafted offensive line a couple of years ago. Those guys aren't great, in my opinion. Like you said, they got Matt Ryan hit. I think one of the things about it is they got the chance of looking at the best non-quarterback in the draft. And me personally, if it was me, I'd probably go Penei Sewell or I would go Sean Slater because I think those guys are good. But Penei Sewell isn't a top lock ready to step in and be a Pro Bowler. He's going to need a little bit of time. He's an opt-out, just like Rashawn Slater. Rashawn Slater's main fame is he played Chase Young, and he shut Chase Young down. So that's why he's high on everybody's board. But I think when you're in the draft, it's not about drafting for need. It's about drafting. It's a long-term investment. It's about drafting. It's a talent grab. And as much as I understand how people would say they need offensive linemen, I think Kyle Pitts has got to be the pick just because you got to pick who's the best player available. You can, if they need defense, they can go sign defense or they can get defense later in the draft. But you being this high, I would take less to trade out and be defensive players. I would trade out. And I'd say, okay, I don't ask you for two or three first rounders. Let's just give me a couple of mid-round picks, especially in this draft. It's deep in the middle of the draft. At edge, cornerback, and safety. You can trade out, get some defensive help, and you can turn your team around this year. But if they're stuck there, I think the better player on the board, Kyle Pitts, he's a once-in-a-generation type talent. I know people try to mock him and try to put players that are comps to him. There's no comps. He's just – his body control running routes is just amazing. They put cornerbacks on him. They put Surtain on him, who's in the draft. They put J.C. Horn on him because there's no linebacker can run with him, no safety can run with him. He's a tight end that has to have number one wide cornerbacks cover him. If I do this, I would take Kyle Pitts for the Falcons.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you hear the rumors about Julio being traded. To me, he doesn't get traded because the cap hit is so bad.
So bad.
The Falcons have to stick with who they have. The one thing about Pitts, even though I say that, you know, not to do it, I understand and I get what Alex is saying. I agree. Pitts is the second rated player in the draft behind Trevor Lawrence. He's a 94. And like you said, he played in the SEC. He dominated. From what I remember, he had zero drops on the season. Who guards him? There's no corner that can, you know, Jalen Ramsey is the closest thing as like a 6'2", 6'3 corner maybe, but you're putting someone in the middle of the field now to cover Kyle Pitts as a quote unquote tight end. So that's a matchup nightmare. And if you think about the fact that if they keep Julio and they keep, they're going to keep Calvin Ridley with Matt Ryan, nothing was Matt Ryan's fault last couple of years. The team had absolutely no defense. So at least, you know, like you said, if you draft Kyle Pitts and you just go all out on defense, you know, you never know. You never know how it's going to work. It could work out. It could be somewhat competitive. So let's put down Kyle Pitts as the fourth pick. All right, now we're going to move on to the Bengals. For me, the Bengals, I think this is clean cut. You have to take Penei Sewell. He's the top offensive lineman. He won the top offensive lineman award, I think, when he was like 19 years old. Something insane that you usually don't see. Usually you see offensive linemen in college winning that award as seniors, and he's winning it as, you know, not a senior. He's winning, I think, as a sophomore. So he's way developed. He's not one of those big mauling offensive tackles, but he can definitely grow into his frame. And, he's definitely a stud. To him, him or Rashawn Slater are going to be a safe pick. But for me, I think it's just you have to go. I know some people want to say go Ja'Marr Chase. The people that say that, I don't think they remember the wide receivers they have. I mean, you have Taj Boyd. You have T. Higgins, who came on strong. And they also have Tate, the 6'6 wide receiver out of Florida State that 2 years ago, you know, when he was thrown out there as the fifth wide receiver, he did a really good job. So you have three good wide receivers in Cincinnati. Do you need four? Do you need to be the Cowboys, like, you know, with getting all tons of wide receivers? Maybe not. But, you know, I think they have enough weapons there. You draft a running, you can draft a, you know, you already have Joe Mixon, draft a tight end later. You don't need more than that with Joe Burrow. That's my opinion. You need to protect him. You need a better offensive line. Yes, they took an offensive tackle a couple years ago, but still, you need a top-tier offensive line. To me, it's Penei Sewell, slam dunk. No question about it. You have to take him over Ja'Marr Chase, even though Ja'Marr Chase is tied as the second highest rated player in the draft. Alex, what do you think?
Looking here, they've done a little bit of offensive help as far as signing some people. I think based on even to what you just said, I think they could get a good wide receiver at the top of the second. This wide receiver draft is so deep. I mean,
it's stacked.
10, 15 wide receivers. They're going to be wide receivers in the second round. They're going to start on teams next year, and they're going to be fantasy studs. Sorry to bring up fantasy, but that's what I run with. So I think that – I don't personally like the tackles in the second and third round. I've heard people kind of throw some tackles out there like Alex Leatherwood or Eichenberg from Notre Dame. I'm not too crazy on those guys. I think Penei Sewell, I think he's got to be the pick. I think if they're going to riot in Cincinnati because they draft a franchise caliber quarterback and he's already been hurt already once. Now you're going to have to worry about him getting hurt. I think they have to draft him. They're a conservative franchise. Like, for instance, the Bengals probably need to trade out of this pick. They got holes. But they're a very conservative franchise. They rarely trade. They're always usually standing there and take the player they want. So I think I would have Penei Sewell going for them because I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, you need your next Anthony Munoz. I mean, it's been, yeah, what, 30 years since you've had that. You need that next one. So, and Joe Burrow is so young. You pair them together for the next 15 years. So, So that's what I got for the number five pick is Penei Sewell to the Bengals. All right, next we got the Miami Dolphins, and I guess they got here in kind of a weird way. They started at the third pick. They moved back to 12 with that trade with the Niners, moving up from 12. And it's kind of odd, like before – well, not odd, but I guess maybe smart, but before they actually did that trade, they worked out a trade to get back in, so they moved back up to 6, trading with the Eagles. And then in the end, they only moved back 3 spots, and they pocketed, I think, an extra first-round pick still since the Niners – gave him 2 extras, and one of those extras went to the Eagles. So the Dolphins got another one. So kind of a smart play. Some of the needs for the Dolphins, offensive line. They cut some defensive line presence, defensive edge rushers. So, Alex, if you're mock drafting and picking for the Dolphins, who you got them taking at the number 6 pick?
Yeah, I'm with you. They need some edge help. They cut Kyle Van Noy. And they've kind of been searching for 2 edges, really. But the edges are sweet spots, like back in the part of the draft. Right now, I know they drafted 2 tackles last year, but they still struggle to protect. I think right here, I would take Rashawn Slater. You could put him at left guard, and he could be a Hall of Fame left guard, or you could put him at left tackle anywhere on the line. He's so versatile. His claim of fame, obviously, he played against Chase Young, and he shut Chase Young down 2 years ago. But, you know, everyone's mocking wide receivers to them. I think they're 2 deeper wide receivers. They just got Fuller in offseason, and they already have 3 starting wide receivers with that. I just think Rashawn Slater is too good to pass up, so I'll go Rashawn Slater.
Yeah, I think that pick makes a lot of sense, and you know they have a ton of weapons already. I know Ja'Marr Chase is kind of the sexy pick for people. And some of these other spots, you know, you even saw that report today that I think you found that had someone wanted to trade up to 4 to even get Ja'Marr Chase, right, Alex? You had someone on that?
Yeah, they were talking about Detroit possibly trading up to 4 to get, but the Falcons asked for a king's ransom.
Yeah, so. In this situation, so I got the Lions coming up next, number 7. They need everything. They trade for Jared Goff as a serviceable quarterback. They don't really have a lot of things to build around. So you probably got to take the best player available. And, you know, just what Alex said, they just wanted to trade up to get Ja'Marr Chase at 4. So in this situation, they get Ja'Marr Chase at 7. They get to keep the draft picks. To me, normally I would say don't take wide receivers, build up the defense, build up everything else. But their depth chart shows Tyrell Williams, who comes off an injury, Rashad Perryman, who's been injured. That's their two top wide receivers. They also got Geronimo Allison, I think, from the Packers. So they don't have any proven wide receivers after letting their two starting receivers go the last couple of years. So they need to rebuild it, and Ja'Marr Chase is second highest graded player coming into the draft. So this is probably the one time where I think it's worth taking wide receiver high. So I got Ja'Marr Chase, who's you know, he didn't play last year, but he's an absolute stud for LSU. So I got Ja'Marr Chase going to the Lions. What do you think about that?
This is one of those spots that we talk about that there's another trade back. There's a bunch of teams that want to trade back. The Lions are one of them. One of the rumors I had heard from the Dallas media, a couple of different sources said that they were talking to the Eagles about trading back to where the Eagles were so the Eagles could come up and get Patrick Surtain. I think the Detroit would love to do that, but they're so wiped out at wide receiver. I think Ja'Marr Chase, if they stay put, he's just the best player on the board. They got to take him.
Yeah, and so it's kind of weird. You hear the Lions, they're willing to even trade up, which, you know, to me, they need lots of assets. My opinion is they should trade back, but they're being aggressive. You can't really fault them for that. But they still get Ja'Marr Chase at 7. I think that's a great selection for them. But so, Alex, you're up next. You have the Panthers with the 8th pick. And, you know, with them, yeah, some of the needs are kind of here and there for people. I think, to me, of all the teams in the top 10, they're kind of in a good situation where I know I hear rumors about them wanting to trade back, but I think – for me, if you take the best player available, and we just saw that trade that happened today, Teddy Bridgewater got traded for a 6th-round pick to the Broncos. So they've kind of solidified that Sam Darnold is their guy. So I have a hard time believing they're taking a quarterback here. To me, I think you take best player available. But Alex, if you're number 8 on the Panthers, hashtag keep pounding, who are you taking?
It's funny because they were one of the coaching staffs were at the Senior Bowl, and they love Mac Jones. Mac Jones in our draft, he's still there. Me personally, I'm not a big Mac Jones fan, but I'm not a big Sam Darnold fan. But for what they gave up to get Sam Darnold, you got to give him a chance, at least give him a year or two to get a chance. You figure the quarterback out better. It won't hurt to draft the quarterback just in case, but this being so high, they need somebody to come in. I've heard in the last couple of days, corners, what they're targeting. I've heard out of some sources that they really love J.C. Horn. I can see Fairley, but if they love Fairley's back, but I think J.C. Horn being the Carolina connection, I think it just makes too much sense. So I'm going to go J.C. Horn.
All right, J.C. Horn to the Panthers. Yeah, that's a good pick. To next, we have the Broncos at number 9. So this is kind of a tough one. They just traded – I think even as early as yesterday before the trade, I was kind of leaning towards, yeah, Drew Lock probably deserves a chance, but if Justin Fields is there, how do you pass up taking Justin Fields? But now when you have Teddy Bridgewater, to me, you have two different types of quarterbacks, and you kind of let them have battled out and see who can perform. Now, Drew Lock has been compared, you know, he has potential. He's kind of like Josh Allen. He's just kind of developing a little bit slower maybe. So, you know, he still has the weapons. They have the wide receivers. They have Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton there. You know, they have Noah Fant. He's got weapons around him. He's got above average running backs, above Gordon, Royce Freeman. So, you know, I'm starting to kind of think that maybe with the Broncos here that, because, you know, they have Fuller and Darby there at cornerback. They have good safeties, Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson. You have good edge rushers. Maybe you just take the best defensive player available and trust it. And to me, I think it would make sense if they take Micah Parsons here. He's going as high as like 6 and 7. So you take him here at, you know, pick number 9. I think, you know, it's good value. It also with the injury problems that you see that they've had with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, you know, they're coming back. I think this helps you kind of have depth, but, you know, this solidifies their defense to make their, you know, Vic Fangio is going to be extremely happy with that, being the coach out there in Denver. So that's why I got going, is I got Mick Parsons going number 9 to the Broncos. Alex, what do you think about that?
Well, defensive coaches draft defensive players. Elway's not over their front office anymore. They got a different type of philosophy. I don't think Bridgewater takes you out, but that's a lot of money to spend for a quarterback. They didn't give up much to get him, but at the same time, your quarterback room is too crowded. To me, it tells me that that they're so more at least give a chance for Drew Lock to grow. Teddy's a backup quarterback who could be there to help him out. Putting another quarterback in that room just makes it even worse of a situation. So I think Parsons is the best defensive player on the board. It's a Denver type of pick. They need linebacker. They could go offensive line, but I think Parsons is the best value right here.
All right, so next we got the Cowboys. I'm not going to say anything else, Alex, about that. I just think, you know, obviously they need help on defense probably in a lot of places. They maybe solidify offensive line, but number 10, the Cowboys, who are they picking, Alex?
Ooh, man, this is a tough one because, you know, being a Cowboy fan, I'm probably going to draft the next, you know, rookie of the year superstar because he's part of the Dallas Cowboy fandom. You know what I'm saying? So this is a big time right now for me. You know, I have to breathe. I have to make sure I make the right choice. One thing I know about the Dallas Cowboys, I knew they loved Sewell when the draft first started. I heard Sewell, but they didn't think they were going to get him. I've heard them try to trade up, but I think it was probably for Sewell. Defensively, they got holes everywhere. I know they're big fans of J.C. Horn and Surtain. It was a big fight over which one was going. But the way this draft is going, Surtain is the best defensive player on the board. I'm going to go Patrick Surtain the second to solidify their secondary. He's the best defensive player here. They can go edge or D-line, but there's no one else that's even worth this pick right now.
Well, I think you guys locked up your backup quarterback. You don't think Justin Fields is the solid pick here for the Cowboys?
You know, if you know we had, you know, Trey Lance we probably would have thought about it. But
that's not good.
Yeah, I know. They would have thought about it, but you know, they also could think about, you know, Mac Jones, who's Ken Dorsey Jr. That might work out a little bit for us.
Don't bring that up anymore. But what do you think are the chances that they move up to 4 if you had to put a percentage on it just for the Kyle Pitts love affair?
Less than 4 or 5% for the simple fact that Atlanta is asking for multiple first-round picks and they're not going to do it. They do it for a third-rounder or maybe 2 third-rounders with the first-round swaps, I think it would happen. But with them asking for as much as apparently we're being told they're asking for, they ask for a quarterback price, that's not going to pay it. They got too many holes on their team.
I feel like the last team in the NFC West that has first-round picks are the Cardinals. I think the Seahawks, Niners, and Rams don't have first-round picks the next 2 years, maybe 3 years. So I think it'd be fitting if the Cardinals just gave up the first 2 picks. It'd be actually scary if you think about Kyle Pitts and that offense. Like that'd be a nightmare. But all right, let's move on. So next we got the Giants at 11. They did a lot of good moves in this offseason. They solidified the team. They got Kenny Galladay to kind of get themselves number one. They re-signed Leonard Williams. They got Adoree Jackson as kind of I think we didn't see that one coming with the Titans cutting Adoree Jackson. So they got Adoree Jackson on one side, James Bradbury on the other side. That's two very good corners. Their safeties are good. I think to me, Michael Parsons would have made sense here. But I don't know if another linebacker – to me, I think interior linebacker is one of those things. Maybe all linebackers is what they need. They run a 3-4 there. I think their front three are pretty solid. So, you know, maybe they just go best player available here, which, you know, outside of Justin Fields you know, it's kind of tough. They could go offensive line, Christian Darrisaw, but I think for this one, I'm just going to go Jalen Waddle. Usually I'm against adding to the wide receivers, but Sterling Shepard's always hurt. Kenny Galladay's coming off an injury. Darius Slayton's kind of, he has his moments. So maybe you add someone like Jalen Waddle in there. He's kind of different than the rest of them. And, you know, just give Daniel Jones more weapons and just see what that offense can do. Especially when they have to play against the Cowboys, which is just going to be shootout games, apparently, if they don't take any defense. So, you know, that's going to be interesting because if you think about that, Alex, that's the Giants against Cowboys. That's Surtain at corner going against Jalen Waddle wide receiver. So you're just two teammates being split up in the same division. So that'd be interesting to watch those games. So, yeah, I got Waddle going to the Giants. What do you think about that one?
As a Cowboys fan, I wouldn't want to see that because he's a speed demon. He's going to kick in punt return so he could add that added value to the Giants. I'm with you. I think they need an edge. They can always offensive line help, but at 11, there's no edge that's worth drafting right here. I think right now the best player available, in my opinion, is going to be wide receiver. depends on which one you think is better. Do you want the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith, or do you want the guy with probably the bigger upside, Jalen Waddle, who's kind of got the NFL bill for a wide receiver? So I think Waddle, if this happens, I think this makes too much sense for them to pass on it.
And this is one of the situations where, you know, with the way we're, our mock draft is going, if the Giants were really in a situation where Justin Fields is available, I could 100% see the Patriots moving up to 11 or you know, 10, 9, 8, 7 to get a chance at Justin Fields. But because we're not doing trades, because they're impossible to predict, you know, I could definitely see at some point the Patriots, the Bears, the WFTs moving up to get Justin Fields. But because of that, you know, trades, we're not going to do that one. So next, we got the Eagles. That's you, Alex. They say they have their quarterback, and then it's so confusing, the whole situation. They have their quarterback. They get a new coach. Their coach says, we want competition, even at quarterback now. So there's a lot of dysfunction in Philadelphia. I feel bad for the Eagles fans. It's very confusing what's going on out there. And I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. They have tons of money tied into people. But, you know, and they have a kind of a coach who's just kind of a fall guy. That's how I see him, Alex. I don't know about you, but I don't see how he has any chance to succeed there. So, but at 12, who do you have the Eagles taking, Alex?
Should we play rock, paper, scissors to see who should be drafted?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Kicker. Let's take a kicker. David Akers Jr.
Oh, man. You kind of you're on the ball with that one. I know they were looking at Zach Wilson trying to six, but they figured they couldn't get him, so they traded back. I think right now they're going to ride out with the quarterback situation they got with Hurts. But if you got Hurts, you got to help him out. I think their offensive line is going to get a little bit healthier next year. They've really blown it with the wide receiver core they've been drafting. They drafted Rager last year over in, Justin Jefferson. I heard they were trying to trade up to get the wide receiver. They went to Dallas. The wide receiver is a big thing for them. Right now, wide receiver is probably going to be their best bet right now. I know the Philadelphia fans, it's hard to please them. Devontae is probably the best player, best wide receiver out there. But he's similar, built up like DeSean Jackson. He's undersized, but Devontae Smith is just too good to pass up. They might be mad at it and say, man, we need to draft Justin Fields. Is this going to happen? But I think Devontae Smith has got to be the pick.
Yep. All right. So to me, that makes sense there. Next, 13, we got the Chargers. So this is mine. You know, they did a good job this. They were hit a home run on the Justin Herbert pick. That really changed the dynamic and feature of the franchise. They added some pieces to their offensive line. They're trying to shore it up. They still have their weapons, Keenan Allen's, Mike Williams. What they really need is they need their defense to stay healthy. We need Derwin James to be – we've never seen Derwin James play a season. Him and Joey Bosa at the top level and the bottom level, like that, that's scary if we can keep those two healthy for the Chargers. So for me, I want to bank on offensive line. I want to keep my quarterback, just my franchise quarterback, Justin Herbert, upright, especially in the division that they're in against competing against the Chiefs. So I got them lined up to take Christian Darrisaw. I think that's going to be a great fit for them. Yeah, he's a great tackle. You could say that he's interchangeable. He's close to the top two tackles, which went 5 and 6. I don't think he's that far off, but he's kind of mocked from between like 8 all the way down to like 20. So it's kind of hard to predict where he's going to go. But I think the Chargers find a good need by getting him at 13. What do you think, Alex?
I think it's a home run for them. You've done the hard part. You drafted a quarterback, and you found your successful quarterback. Now you have to protect him. Tackle is the next most important position on the football field. Darrisaw is the best tackle on the board right now. I can think about Vera Tucker, especially being from USC, playing in L.A., I can see that kind of be a connection right there. I think Vera Tucker is more of a guard than he is an actual true left tackle. So I agree with you. I think Darrisaw's got to be the pick over him.
Yeah. All right. Next, we got the Vikings at number 14. All right. So 14, we got the Vikings. So some of the needs they have, be a little bit, some needs on defense, probably some needs on the offensive line. But Mike Zimmer being defensive, hopefully he can fix that, maybe address some of those needs later on in the draft. But Alex, at pick 14, since you're mocking for them, you have the Vikings taking at 14.
I have them taking Elijah Vera Tucker. He can play guard. He can play tackle in the league. He started a full year at guard and a full year at tackle. He was amazing at both. I love to get the Vikings an edge rusher, but right now I don't see anyone around this pick that's worth it. So I think Elijah Vera Tucker is just too good to pass up at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. It's a solid pick. All right, Justin Fields is who I think I'd be taking now, because number 15, you have the Patriots. And with Fields being there, I think you just jump right at it. I don't think there's a question. Now, the only kind of variable in there's rumors that the trading Jimmy Garoppolo to the Patriots, which is kind of odd. But one of the snags is working a new contract out for Garoppolo. I don't know if I believe that, because I believe that they are good. But I think the way I see this playing out is if the Patriots cannot get the quarterback they won the first round, first for Jimmy G, I think if they don't get the quarterback they won the first round, that's when they actually will trade one a different pick, maybe a third or a fourth, Garoppolo, and settle for him instead of one of those other quarterbacks. So I think I for me, Justin Fields, it is a steal, especially as he's, since some people haven't raised in the draft. Well, what do you think, Alex?
I agree. I think if it doesn't work out this way, or even works out the way, I still can see them trading out of this pick. I can see them trying to maybe fleece a Chicago to move up to get their quarterback, or maybe try to fleece a Washington to come up to get the quarterback, especially if Jimmy G is in play now. I can see them sitting right there and just saying, hey, you know what? There's some teams that definitely need this pick. We're willing to do business. Maybe we might not get full points on it, but we can still get some picks out of it, just because New England just known to trade back. But I think if Fields there, my personal feelings is there's no way they should pass on it. They should take them and not think about it anymore.
Yep. All right, next, we're at number 16. We have the Cardinals. They just lost Patrick Peterson. So some of these, maybe quarterback, maybe tight end, maybe some help on the offensive line. At 16, who do you have the Cardinals taking?
I have them taking the next best corner on the board for me is Greg Newsome II out of Northwestern. They played a lot of cover three over there, but I think he'll fit in with the Cardinals. Cardinals needed a cornerback, whether Peterson returned or not, but now they really need a cornerback, and I think they got the best value right here.
Yeah, that may need to address that, especially with some of the wide receiving weapons. They got to be able to keep up with that defense. Next, we got number 17. We have the Raiders. They have needs all over the defense. A lot of people have been kind of concerned with how picks and kind of essentially how they just have not done a very good job of executing draft picks. Here, this is kind of weird because if you are familiar, draft, they could go anywhere from any speed receiver on this draft to mocked from the first to second round into the first round, because that's just what the Raiders do. I'm taking Christian Barmore out of Alabama, defensive lineman. They just let a couple defensive linemen go. Cleveland Farrell still hasn't panned out as the edge rusher. I know they have Max Crosby there, but they need help along that defensive line. I think you can see some teams in the NFL, the Niners and a solid defensive line, Niners here, but a solid defensive line can help make up for a lot in the secondary. So I think the Raiders need to start there. I think Christian pick that they should make as an interior line disruptor on the inside. Well,
Loscow said this is a bad defensive line draft, but I think Barmore is clearly the best in my opinion. Something about those Alabama defensive linemen, when they work, they work. And even when they don't work, they still somehow, some way make an impact in the league. So I think Barmore is a good pick right here. I've seen some people mock out linebackers for them. They can get linebackers later in the draft. So I think Barmore is the safe and better value pick right here.
All right. 18, we have the Dolphins with their actual pick. You know, we had them taking an offensive tackle their first. And, you know, even still, if you know, if people really want to get them more offensive weapons, two or more offensive weapons, you can still do that. Such a deep draft and wide receiver. Alex, at pick 18, who are you taking for the Miami Dolphins?
I'm taking Kwity Paye from Michigan. Day one, he'd be a great run stopper. Brian Flores comes from the New England Bill Belichick style defense. They believe in setting the edges. Kwity Paye, day one, is going to be a great edge run defender. He needs to work on it, on pass rushing skills, but I think he could get there. I think right now it just makes too much sense for them to go edge, and I think he fits more what they're looking for.
Yep, I agree. I think that would be next, number 19, we have Washington. You know, this is a team where maybe you take quarterback, maybe you take Mac Jones here. For me, three quarterbacks in that roster. I think they all have next year. And, you know, he likes Kyle Allen as his backup, so he already has two quarterbacks in front of him in the playoffs. So it's kind of hard to look away from him. You got to give him a chance. So, defense up. You know, you could add a wide receiver here, but I think with having Curtis Samuel, maybe take a wide receiver in the next round. Talk about running back. That makes no sense to me, Alex. I don't know why you take a running back here when you have two good running backs. Antonio Gibson was a really good running back last year. Hurt towards the end of the year, unfortunately. But taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Notre Dame. I know he's a stud. I know you're a huge fan. Maybe you want to break down him, how he fits with Washington.
He's a great cover linebacker. He's so good he could cover slot wide receivers, which is that's unheard of in today's age. He's undersized at 5'11", but he hits. He is actually a hard hitter. He's probably the best hitter in the NFL the day one steps in there. He could cover tight ends. He could cover running backs. He could cover slot wide receivers. That Alabama game, Alabama should have blown Notre Dame out a lot more than they did. But J.O.K. Owusu-Koramoah, he was definitely giving them fits all day, blitzing, covering guys. So as a Cowboy fan, I hate to see Washington get a player like this, but I think this is a perfect fit for them. Why draft a quarterback and start over like they did 2 years ago, and you just could keep making a strength of strength?
Yeah, it's good. Haskins, you know, Dwayne Haskins, one good year of showing himself, and what did Mac Jones do? Have one good year of showing himself. So not saying they're the same quarterback, but yeah. So next, number 20, speaking of that, the quarterback, they anointed Andy Dalton as the starter next year, which makes no sense to say that. But at 20, the Bears, you know, have a couple, need a couple things. They need maybe need a cornerback. They definitely need some offensive line help. But who do you have the Bears taking at?
This is why you don't let, you know, head coaches and front office people who are fighting for their jobs stay around as long as they have. I think they have a lot bigger needs on their team right now, but there's no way they're passing on Mac Jones. They got to try to save their jobs in some way, somehow. And you find a Mac Jones that just would theoretically fall in your lap. I think there's no way they can go past this. I don't think there's any way to go around it. They need wide receiver help. They need somebody to help out Robinson and maybe even replace him. They need a quarterback to replace Kyle Fuller, but you could get all that in later in the rounds. But I got the Bears getting Mac Jones.
All right, pick number 21, you have the Colts. Team money going into the offseason. We thought they would have taken a wide receiver, but it looks like they're happy with their wide receivers. They're happy with their team. And Wentz, what do they need? Some probably defensive help. Sure is probably one of their weaknesses on the team. You probably could even upgrade the corner. They were kind of banking on Xavier Rhodes. You want to do. So I'm going to have them taking the defensive end out. Jason Owe, how do you spell that, Alex? You know him better than I do.
Oh, Owe works, yeah. Owe.
All right, so that's who I have going to the Colts. Need some help at defensive end. It's kind of weird seeing them without Robert Mathis and all those great defensive ends they had back in the day. So what do you think about that one?
Owe, he's a physical freak. He runs in the 4.3s. That's what his pro day was, and His short combines is just absolutely a show. He is a little bit raw. He didn't even have a sack his last year in college football, which is kind of eye-raising, but he has all the tools that in 10 years he might be the best pass rusher in this draft. So it's a developmental thing, but Eberflus comes from that Rod Marinelli of coaching of getting blood from a turnip. So I definitely think he can definitely see his potential if he goes to the Colts.
And just so you guys may have been like wondering, did he really say that he ran a 4? That's correct. 6'5", 257 pounds, running a 4. That's how players are in the NFL now. That's terrifying. Next, we got number 22, the Titans on the clock. They lost quarterbacks. They lost Patriots. Do you add additions on the offensive weapons? Because I know their first round pick didn't pan out last year, their tackle. Alex, who do you have the Titans taking at 22?
With them losing Adoree Jackson and actually by losing, cutting him, I would love to draft Caleb Farley for them. But I've been hearing local in Tennessee talking about they really love the kid from Ole Miss. So I'm going to give them Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss. He could pair up with A.J. Brown. They signed their quarterback long-term, so is their running back, Derrick Henry. They got A.J. Brown. They lost Corey Davis. They need another weapon to kind of stretch that offense so no one can put 8 men in a box against Derrick Henry. So I'm taking Elijah Moore.
Yep, definitely fits the need that they have. All right, so we have the Jets on the clock with their second pick in the first round at pick. There's a lot of places that they need to go. They need more offensive line help. Running, they could go running back. Some people, I think they haven't taken running. I think they need. I'm going to go edge rusher help on this one. I think they have a defensive line. I think you add one more piece if this. I think you have a great front four, especially with Robert Saleh taking over as your defensive coordinator. He likes getting pressure with this drop. It's that kind of that Tampa or not Tampa. I'm sorry, that Seattle coverage where they like to drop zone coverage, and he didn't blitz a lot even in San Francisco. So I'm guessing that's what he wants to do. He wants to trust his. And they, get to the quarterback. So I have them taking Jalen Phillips, the edge rusher out. Alex, what do you think about that one?
I love it. Jalen Phillips might be the best day one pass rusher, edge rusher in his draft. The thing about him is going to be his medical. He had so many concussions when he played for UCLA, he had to retire. He did play with Miami, didn't have any problems with that. But if his medical's checked out and he's good to play, I love the pick. He definitely, day one, like I said, is going to be the best rusher of this class. So it's an A+. I think the Jets are doing a great job in the draft.
Yep. All right. Next, pick number 24, we have the Steelers. Because, potentially the last year of Ben, so do they get the quarterback of the future or – build up around him? They brought some people back. Some people they have some needs at linebacker, this line, some maybe running back. Alex, what do you have the Steelers taking?
The sexy thing everybody's been mocking from is Najee Harris. I don't believe in taking running backs in the first round unless you think they're special. They could get a running back in the second or third round and definitely be just as good. They lost a lot of offensive linemen. They've had two offensive linemen retire. They lost Villanueva, their left tackle. I'm going to go Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State tackle because I think he's going to be a perfect Steeler because he plays pissed off. He has a mean streak in him. He finishes plays. He doesn't look just to block somebody. He looks to annihilate people. So I think he'd fit in right there with Pittsburgh. Love to get an edge right here, but I think Tevin Jenkins is too good to pass up.
Yep. They definitely need that help there. I picked Jacksonville with their second of their first-round picks. Obviously, their first. Like I said before, that offense is fine with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence at the helm and the and bringing back everyone they brought back and taking a wide receiver in the second or third round. I think they go defense here. There's places you need to improve. I was kind of looking back between Caleb Jordan Morig, but Caleb Farley, they don't need him as much. They actually have two good corners in theory. CJ, a first-round pick out of Florida last year. I think he'll be fine, especially having better players around him. So I have the safety out of TCU. He's a hard hitter. You know, he's a great athlete. Fit well, you know, maybe kind of like an Antoine Winfield helped the Buccaneers. He can be that kind of like late round, first round safety and help Jacksonville. I think that's what they need. So, Alex, what do you think about that?
I like it. They traded away Harrison to the Cleveland Browns a couple of years back, and they needed somebody in the back end. I think Merrick is that free safety, Roman free safety. He can play halves and the cover two, and he'd be your deep free safety. I think he definitely will help the Jaguars out. You've already put together a secondary. They signed Griffin. They drafted C.J. Henderson. If they take Mark here, that's the beginnings of a pretty doggone good secondary.
Yep. All right. Next, at pick number 26, we have the Cleveland Browns. They're really starting to together. You know, maybe they need a little bit more help in the defensive line. I know that here recently. Maybe a little bit of linebacker help, but what do you have the Browns taking?
They're solid up front on offense. They're loading on offense. Their secondary is amazing. They've added to it. I think an edge rusher will work here, but I don't see an edge rusher that I just like for the Browns right now. I think they'd probably be serving best to get edge the second round. I'm going to give them the high fast riser, everyone's loving Jermaine Davis out of Kentucky. He was kind of a thought of as a mid-round guy, but he's been a hot riser. Everyone's been telling me he's going to go in the first round. I think this is probably the best bet for him going to Cleveland. So I got Jermaine Davis out of Kentucky.
All right. Next, pick number 27 for the Ravens. At addressing your tackle position. Wide receiver, because right now your depth chart has a bunch of question marks. Yes, they signed Sammy Watkins, but they struck out a lot of other people. Now, I think Kadarius Toney of Steel, you've heard some people compare him to Tyreek Hill. He ran as a 4.38. He's the kind of person you get to the line of scrimmage and he could take off and he could be gone for a touchdown. That's the kind of he has. Now, you know, you know, he's not going to be the same as Jamar Chase and them, but he's that level and he, you know, he's very dangerous. And he could end up being one of the biggest playmakers out of this whole draft coming out. You put him on that Ravens team, you have Marquise Brown able to, you have Andrews who can play the middle of the field. You have that rushing attack improv that Lamar Jackson can do. And then you add someone like who can then affect how a team has to pay attention to them. Stuff like that. So I think Kadarius Toney to the Ravens, if they see him there, I feel like they have there's some other tackle that falls to that position. So Alex, what do you think?
Not supposed to scout the helmet, but he just reminds me of a bigger Percy Harvin. He has that that twitch in him where if you get a player in open space, he's breaking ankles and take it to the house. I love the fit because he's going to be great with the motions. The wide receiver sweeps, putting him in the backfield, tossing him the ball, letting him run out a little bit. I think it fits perfectly in their system because now you're not going to be with all the motion, you're not going to be able to key in on Lamar Jackson. I think it's a perfect pick for them.
All right, at pick number 28, we have you know for their team needs really a second wide receiver. Do they have their quarterback of the future? Sure. You know, there's a couple of players, another linebacker, another person on the defensive line, but who do you have the Saints taking, Alex, at pick 28?
They could take an edge. They could take a linebacker. I know people have been mocking linebackers to them, but I think I'm getting a little annoyed with it's basically been Michael Thomas, their wide receiver, a bust at times. I think you got some two young quarterbacks that you're trying to figure some things out. I'm giving them Terrace Marshall. I'm giving them wide receiver right out the bayou, right down the street from them. give them a second target opposite of Mike Thomas. Marshall doesn't have to be amazing. He just has to be able to get open and take on some of these double teams that Michael Thomas has been dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Next, we're going to go to Packers. I really hate what they've done in years. I really wish that they would do a better job supporting him in a draft. Great people like Aaron Jones later on in the draft, but the Love pick, Jordan Love pick, that'll never make any sense to me. I have a wide receiver like him, or a quarterback, I'm sorry. There's, you go all in 110%. You give him everything he needs, and you just go with how often it's going to happen. And I think they've been so spoiled with the quarterbacks that they've had that they don't understand. They could be like the Bears for the next 30 years, and you just don't know when it's going to come around again. So for their sake, take the best wide receiver available, especially when you have Devontae Adams going to get that shadow coverage. You bring someone else in, I think Rashad Bateman, you take the best wide receiver left available. You put him there as number two. You never know what's going to happen. He could have a huge breakout year with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, how smart he is, all the weapons they have in that offense, opening up that offense also, you know, with Aaron Jones coming back. They have there that they got for the second round last year, you know, that off. So that's who I have going at pick number 29, Alex.
Who would have thought Green Bay's drafting a Minnesota wide receiver?
I know, right?
Yeah, but you know, you got one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You have to make sure you take care of him. You have to make sure you optimize him, get him a weapon so he doesn't feel like he has to do everything on his own.
Yep. Otherwise, he's about to leave and use Jeopardy permanently. Because I mean, why? Mm-hmm. Why not? Anyways, all right. Mm-hmm. Pick number 30, Buffalo Bills. You got that stud job. Your offense, which is really weird, because 2 years ago the offense was a struggle. It was lights out, top five. Now, offense is top five. Defense, you have the same great defensive coach. Who do the Bills take at 30?
Well, I think they would love to have like a defensive lineman who's opposite Ed Oliver to kind of help them out on stopping the run. But I know one thing, their number one need is pass rush. And I'm going to take somebody, I think he has the best nickname in the draft, called Carlos Boogie Basham out of Wake Forest. He's Terrell Basham's cousin from Ohio who was a Jet, who's now a Cowboy, signed the Cowboys this offseason. I think he's the best pass rusher at this moment. I think he gives them an edge off the edge. He's going to be able to hunt the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, Mahomes. Because if you're going to play a Mahomes, you're going to play a Lamar Jackson for the next couple of years. You need to be able to get after him. So I think Bash would be the pick for me.
Yep. I think that makes a lot of sense. Pick number 31, the second pick for the pick that they got from the Chiefs for the trade when they go Brown. Once again, I'm looking at tackle. If I feel comfortable enough taking a tackle here, I probably would rather get and trade up in the second round to take a tackle. If I don't think I have the answer, I don't think they do. I think they really do need to take a tackle. However, I cannot pass up. This is a GM for the Ravens. This is what I would do. Is this going to happen? Probably not. They're probably wide receiver. Who knows in the first round? They may just go all defense and just load up on defense. Who knows what they're – but you said Kadarius Toney, okay, is going to be a nightmare at the line of scrimmage. He's going to work the short routes. Put him on one side of the field with Marquise Brown stretch on the streak. So now you have to worry about those two on the one side of the field. Now, Dale Moore. Wide receiver at Purdue on the other side of the field. Same thing. He's going to be a nightmare in his short yardage situations. I think you add those two on the outsides. Andrews, the running backs they have there, Lamar Jackson. I think this is what you need to have this true elite Chiefs and the Ravens going forward, because I would watch it. Seeing that those kind of offenses going at each other. So I got Rondale Moore out of Purdue going to the Ravens at 31.
Brian, you are crazy like a fox. But this is, I think it makes sense, and this is why it makes sense. You're about to get ready to pay Lamar Jackson. There's been a scuttlebuck about whether or not he's worth paying. I think you need to figure some things out with him. You want to maximize him? Go get him a couple wide receivers like Moore and give him Kadarius Toney. Let's see what he's made of. You give him these weapons and he's still – you're still hitting a wall with him, then I would understand you thinking about moving on with him. But if you're going to make him your franchise quarterback, you need to double down on him, double down on what he needs. He needs wide receivers. He needs help so he can maximize his talent.
All right, and let's wrap this up. Pick number 32, the Bucks, the world champs. They have the option to literally take anyone they want because they don't really have any glaring needs. They just also to $6 million for 1 year. So now they have their third wide receiver locked up. Oh, by the way, O.J. Howard's coming back. The rest of the league, put yourself on notice. The Bucks don't need anything. They're just drafting because it's for – as a formality, Alex, who are they taking at 32?
Man, the rich get richer. That's kind of how it is. They don't have any big needs. I've heard some needs about possibly them taking a running back. You can take a running back in the second, third round. I think they would love to have an interior defensive lineman because Vita Vea, I think, is going to be on his fifth-year option. So they got him for the fourth or fifth year. But I think they love somebody else inside to kind of help out with the Vita Vea. But JPP is getting up there in age. They just signed Shaq Barrett. I'm going to give them an edge. I'm going to give them a Aziz Ojulari from Georgia. I've heard some people kind of red flag him about some maybe a knee issue. I don't know what's going on with it. I know he may be one of the better pass rushers in the draft. I think he, when you're going off against the Kansas City Chiefs, going against the Green Bay Packers, you need as much pressure as possible. I say they should go ahead and just get another edge and just keep going after the quarterback.
And you saw how that worked out, like you said, in the Super Bowl. So that's scary to think about. And like you said, they could literally take anyone there. Like they could take him or they could take a gamble on some of these other players. I know we saw Caleb Farley here sliding all the way now to the second round. So you could take a huge gamble on someone and hit the jackpot because you really, if you bust on this draft pick, it doesn't matter because you just won the championship. That's, it's just crazy. So that being said, I'm on the mock draft. I followed along. I just graded our mock draft and we actually got it. I think an A at least 80% of our picks. So we did pretty good out on this, according to the computer, at least. So we'll follow along. During draft day, we'll see how it goes. Things could happen between on draft day. There could be more trades, that for all we know. But thanks for listening, guys. Feel free to use the mock drafts. Thanks for participating on the Facebook page. We had you guys going 1 through 11, just kind of doing kind of a community draft. During the draft, we'll actually have the Facebook page open. We'll be posting questions, asking comments. It's always interesting to see what happens because, no one can ever predict everything right. It usually goes to crap after the first two picks anyways for everyone. So can't wait for the draft. Alex, thanks for joining me. How did you enjoy your first podcast experience?
I very much enjoyed it. I love talking about football, but I love talking about the draft. It's like Christmas. It's Christmas for every NFL football team fan. Everyone's starting up at zero. All you need is a great draft and you can turn your franchise around. So there's always hope with it. And it's just, I love it. I love the mocking of it. I love the ups and the downs of it, but I thank you for having me here today to talk about it.
All right. Yeah. And we'll have our next podcast in about a week or so, guys. We'll do a kind of a post-draft podcast talking about what we thought went well and where we were right, where we were wrong and so on. So, we'll have one pushed out next week. Thanks for joining us. Remember, check us out on Facebook page, Sports Talk for Fans by Fans, and we'll see you then.